Wolfgang Mutschpiel is in Australia for, I think it's his sixth tour. He's here working with the Gregorian Brothers. He's quite a name in jazz guitar. And before we talk to him, let's go right back to the beginning. It's a track called Can't Get You Out of My Mind, and it comes from the 2003 album Early Music, a collaboration between Christian Mutschpiel and Wolfgang Mutschpiel. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Wolfgang to the music show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Now, what was going on there exactly? Because I heard two guitars, at least two guitars.
Yes, there was two guitars. What was really going on is that I was playing a song that my father wrote. A kind of folk song that in the first bars where you heard the choir, that's the choir of my father.
Ah.
And our whole album, Early Music, is a tribute to my father. And every one of those tracks starts with an original recording of his choir. And then we kind of make a version of that song in our own way. So that was very much a family project.
And that was two of you, was it, playing guitar there?
Actually, that was me doing an overdub. I was playing both guitars.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your beginnings in that case, because this is obviously in some ways a key album in terms of where you come from.
That is definitely the case. I mean, this this sums up kind of how we grew up musically, because the passion of my father being a kind of amateur musician, totally into music but not having to live from music, it triggered very much an environment where music was sort of the highest thing you could do in life. And it was, he made it very inviting for all of us to start playing an instrument. And we are four kids, and three of us became musicians. Three of us are professional musicians. And he kind of, on every level that we were at, he found some kind of way to arrange something so that we could play together and stuff. We sang a lot at home. And so there was a sort of a perfect start to immerse yourself into music long before you can read notes and you know, like long before you can intellectualize it.
Yeah. And when did jazz enter the scene, as far as you were concerned anyway, in this sort of so far rather conventional Austrian musical household?
Exactly. It was mostly classical music and folk music. And then my brother and me, we kind of formed a duo early on, which consisted of us kind of making up songs with whatever instruments were around that we could play or couldn't play. And it usually ended up in a fight, and we were swearing that we would never play together again. So next day we played again. But basically this went on for many years, and we improvised together without knowing anything about jazz. And then when we found out that the foundation of jazz is improvisation, then we were kind of very interested and became very hooked on it.
Right. But at this stage, there's still no sort of sign of chord progressions in any kind of recognizable jazz way.
We definitely had chord progressions, but we didn't know how to call them. But we definitely had harmonies and rhythms, but it was not, didn't look like a real book song or anything like that. But it was kind of a improvised, partly written, partly improvised music. I wouldn't call it jazz yet, but it had sort of some of that feeling.
And your record label, the label that you are now on, ECM, where you've been for the last 4 or 5 years, actually plays a role, doesn't it, in turning you into a jazz musician, listening to those early ECM recordings?
That's true. When we discovered jazz, me and my brother kind of did this together, then a lot of the ECM records became very important to us and key music for us to develop. And actually, one of those albums was Ralph Towner's solo concert when I was, I don't know, 13 or something. And so I already played classical guitar at that point, and he kind of was the link to the improvised and to the jazz world, because he plays classical guitar a technique, but he improvises. So this was an album that really opened a lot of doors for me, and so did other ECM records. And later I played with Ralph, and later I, you know, became a part of this ECM label. So in a way, many things that I dreamed of as a kid actually came true.
But it's nice to know that really from quite early on, that ECM, that Manfred Eicher was, in a sense, developing the future of the label through the then present of the label.
I think that's true with a strong label, you know, because the label has a strong identity, and it had a real combination of European and American virtues. There was serious blowing, serious improvising, serious rhythm. And at the same time, there was a high appreciation in that label for composition, structure, space, etc.
Yes. I wonder whether Wolfgang Mutspiel, it helps in a sense, and this is, I guess, related to ECM, to be from Europe, to have a new, fresh approach to jazz. I mean, in a way that perhaps if you had been born in Philadelphia or somewhere, it wouldn't be quite the same, because you've taken quite a broad, even eclectic approach to the music, haven't you? And to the influences that you've allowed in.
Yes, I think basically what it comes down to is when you're starting to be interested in jazz, there's a certain type of language and grammar that you just have to learn, but after that, what really counts is that your own sensibility and your own musical DNA is expressed, and wherever you are from, there will be unmistakable elements, you know, that you can use. So for me, it was, I'm from Europe, I grew up with classical music, and I did sort of much later discover jazz, and then went to the States and then really learned a lot about, you know, bebop and all that stuff. But I think wherever you're from, you know, that if you take it serious where you're from and the influences that you are exposed to as a kid, then, you know, it's always going to be good. There's no better or worse place to start playing jazz.
Some of the people that you've worked with over the years, let me name some names, Yusu Ndour, Maria Zhao, Dave Liebman, Trilok Gurtu, John Petitucci, Don Elias, Paul Motion, Gary Peacock. I mean, there's a big range there of musical styles, even within jazz. And do you know what you're looking for when you seek or agree to a collaboration? Is there a certain type of musician that piques your interest?
It kind of depends on the project, really, what musician I think could fit best if it's my own project. And sometimes it's an invitation by somebody else, then it's just kind of an adventure to enter somebody else's universe. I would say that what I really look for more than anything is somebody who really is interested in a kind of dialogue and a conversation, musical conversation. And I like to improvise in a way that is influenced by what the other people play. And when there's a group that really listens deeply, this conversation becomes very interesting and effortless, and interesting stuff happens, like that is different from take to take, and that is different from a kind of a solo delivery of, you know, competence or something.
Yes, yes. And the past of jazz is important to you as well, I think. I'm thinking of your first ECM album, Driftwood, and the track dedicated to the memory of Joe Zawinul, and another one to Michael Brecker. It's important to pay those sorts of dues.
Well, they were huge influences. You know, they are everything you listen to with that amount of love will somehow stay with you, you know, in your music. So Brecker was huge for me, and Zawinul too. I had the pleasure of being able to play with him a duo concert once in New York. It was an unforgettable experience, and also I listened to a lot of his albums.
But it's interesting that the pianists seem to loom quite large in your work, and it's a little bit counterintuitive for a guitarist, you know, when you have six strings at your disposal and the ability to play chords, that you should team up with people who also play chords, but not just Joe Zawinul, but Gwilym Simcock and Brad Meldow in particular on the latest album as part of your quintet. Well, tell me about working with pianists, would you?
Well, it's usually the combination of guitar and piano is kind of delicate in jazz, and there's a strange old-fashioned rule that only one of these instruments should comp. They shouldn't comp together. But if you have musicians like Brad or Gwilym, you know, that really listen, it's a super fun to dive into that together. And piano is very important to me because as a guitarist, for a long time, I was kind of striving to be able to express harmonically more complex situations on my instrument that is, you know, that usually pianists are doing. So it was kind of a school for me to listen to pianists, and some of them were super influential, I think, more than anybody else, Keith Jarrett, and also in the classical world, Glenn Gould, who's both versions of the Goldberg Variations I was totally hooked on, and I transcribed and I played with another guitarist and so on and so on. We performed it and we recorded it in the radio, and I was obsessed with this. I think I was 18 or 17 at the time.
What was it about Gould's playing, do you think, in particular, as opposed to, say, the music?
Well, the music, of course, is genius, but his version of it is just... It seems like this piece was waiting for Glenn many hundred years. And the way he plays it sort of transparent, with the absolute transparency of the polyphony, plays it like he would write it at this moment where he's playing it.
Yes.
And there's also a rhythmic pulse that if he wants to turn that on, it's really strong, which I love, that classical musicians have that too. And when it's lyrical, it's extremely heavenly beautiful, like the Variation 25 and so on. Yeah, it was a big, big influence. Also his writings, his mind, his approach to music, and then his decision, you know, to stop performing and only recording, pioneering a certain type of studio intelligence.
Yes. You're listening to The Music Show. My guest is Wolfgang Mutspiel. We should listen to some music and then we'll continue our conversation. This is from your latest album with your quintet. Where the River Goes is the name of the album, and we're going to hear at least the first few minutes of a composition for Django Bates, I assume.
Exactly, you got it. A lot of journalists think it's Django Reinhardt.
Well, that's the obvious thing, but if you listen to it, it can't be.
That's true.
So we're going to hear the guitar of Wolfgang Mutspiel, as mentioned, also Brad Meldo on piano, Ambrose Akinmusiri playing trumpet, Larry Grenadier bass, and Eric Harlan drums.
Thank you.
Well, there's a few minutes of For Django. It's from the album Where the River Goes, and that was Wolfgang Mutspiel playing guitar, Brad Mehldau on piano. We heard Ambrose Akimusiri on trumpet, Larry Grenadier bass, and Eric Harland on drums. And my guest on today's music show is Wolfgang Mutspiel. It's interesting that we should have been talking, or you should have been talking about Bach and Glenn Gould before that. I didn't know about Gould and Bach's influence on you, but there's a very contrapuntal sensibility to that music that we've been listening to.
Absolutely. I was just thinking of that when I now listen to the passage where Brad and me are playing together. And this is a totally improvised passage. Up until then, it's written music, and then at that point, it's completely free. So the whole contrapuntal section is free, and there is something of Bach in there. I also thought of Shostakovich sometimes. And, you know, it's one of those things where Brad is also a musician who has been influenced by many different things, and especially also Bach and classical piano music. And there's a touch that he has which is very related to classical pianists. All of that is in there somehow.
Just a word about guitarists. I mean, you mentioned Ralph Towner, of course, and there are other guitarists who I think were influential on you, Pat Metheny. But going back further to figures like Wes Montgomery, for instance, did you make a point of studying the recordings of the great jazz guitarists that came before you?
Actually, I didn't. I like some, but I never really went too deeply in that world. I totally love some of Django Reinhardt's stuff, but my whole sort of introduction to jazz music was through music that was done later. And my first big jazz guitar hero was Pat Metheny. And later I looked sort of who did stuff before, and but I must say that I think that the guitar really developed hugely, and is still developing. That's one of the beauties of this instrument, that there's still so much things on this instrument that are possible that have not been done. I think that is not true for a lot of other instruments, because of these strange makeup of the instrument where, you know, one note has many points on the instrument that can play it.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to the piano. So that and also the fact that we have an instrument that is able to play between the half-tone system.
Mm. And this is before you retune it.
Yes, this just bending and, you know, vibratos and little micro-tuning things and stuff.
Yes. Wolfgang Mutspiel, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you on the music show, and I'll give our listeners your dates for your performances after we've heard you and Slava and Ralph Towner together.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mirko and Mithra, that's a Wolfgang Mutspiel composition played there by Wolfgang Mutspiel with Ralph Towner and Slava Gregorian. It comes from their album on the ECM label, Travel Guide. And they have a few more performances there at the Melbourne Recital Centre on Wednesday, the Street Theatre in Canberra on Thursday, City Recital Hall in Sydney on Friday, and then finishing up at the Lawson Mechanics Institute, where I'm told they had such a good time last time when Ralph Towner was here with them that they felt they had to return. And by the way, we learn that Ralph Towner is making fine progress and will be back on his feet and playing again soon.